It's at 9:26 on Classical Mornings. I'm your host, Jean Stillwell, on the new Classical FM. Shakespeare's sweeping tale of love, loss, and redemption comes to life on stage at the Four Seasons Centre for the Performing Arts in The Winter's Tale, choreographed by Christopher Wheeldon, on now to the 21st of November, and tickets are available at national.ballet.ca. Joining us today to share her experiences as one of the National Ballet of Canada's newest principal dancers is Agnes Sue. Agnes comes to Toronto from the renowned Stuttgart Ballet in Germany. She and her partner Guillaume, who is now a principal cellist with the Canadian Opera Company, have both taken up leading positions in two of the city's most prestigious cultural institutions. Today, Agnes is here to talk about her remarkable journey, her debut as Hermione in The Winter's Tale, and the incredible team from choreographer Christopher Wheeldon to composer Joby Talbot, bringing this timeless story to the stage. Agnes, welcome to the show. It's wonderful to have you here.
Hi, Jean. Good morning. It's a pleasure being here.
Good. I'm glad. Agnes, can you first tell us a little about your journey to becoming a principal dancer here in Toronto and what it meant to move from the Stuttgart Ballet to Toronto? That's a big leap.
So actually, it's a very multifaceted answer because Toronto was always on my radar in terms of the city and also the relationship this company, National Ballet, has with my former company, Stuttgart Ballet, which is located in Germany. So it's definitely a big move. But I felt like I needed a change, and I was very inspired by everything Hope was doing in the past seasons. And I felt like it was the perfect timing and kind of like a coming back to home for me, being North American originally. So I just took the leap of faith and everything kind of worked out until now. So I'm very grateful.
How has the transition to Toronto and joining the National Ballet of Canada been for you and Guillaume, both professionally and personally?
I think transitioning can always be a little bit daunting.
Sure.
I've never done it personally until now. But I've had colleagues and friends who've moved companies, and you don't ever know what to expect, if I'm quite honest.
Of course.
But I've started since the beginning of September until now, and all of my worries kind of like melted away in the first few weeks.
Lovely.
It felt very familiar, and especially like all of the colleagues here are with open arms and willing to show you around, show you the ropes. So it was almost too easy, if
say. Yeah, of course.
And on top of it all, everything is in English here, which didn't hurt, you know, my mother tongue. And for Guillaume, he kind of started last year already in January. So he's had more time to kind of, get into the thick of it, so to say.
Oh, good for him. Good for him. That's great. And so how's your German?
It's very good, actually.
Oh, wow.
I'm quite proud about how far I went in my fluency.
Good for you. Not an easy jump from English to German, is it?
They kind of are related, I have to say. Like, a lot of the words are, like, for example, cat is die Katze. You know, it's like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. But it is a very difficult language. And I think it was Einstein himself who said life is too short to learn German. And I'm like, kind of true. I can kind of understand what you're saying there.
You were saying that you were originally from North America. Where in North America?
So I was born and raised in Southern California, Orange County. Then again, I left with 14. That's when I went straight to Stuttgart and I started studying in the school there for ballet. Yes.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, at the end of the day, now that I'm 29, I've lived longer in Germany than in North America. So I do feel a little bit Europeanized.
Of course. Sure.
And it kind of, my whole upbringing, like my coming of age was in Europe. So, and I'm very grateful for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's different.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. You've danced some of the most iconic roles in classical ballet, Swan Lake, Sleeping Beauty, Romeo and Juliet. How do these experiences inform your work as a principal dancer here in Canada?
It was, first of all, like such a whirlwind, all of these title roles that it came all pretty much after Corona. And it I have to say, I danced them very quickly in succession.
I bet.
I almost did four in one season, I remember. And,
whoa.
And yes, which is kind of unheard of. And I think it was a mixture of being ready and also the space was needed to be filled. So someone needed to go on stage. And I was very grateful that it was me because I learned so much in the 3-4 years of all these main roles coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with all of that experience, you do change as an artist. You feel like more mature on stage. Mm. You know how to handle your nerves. You can kind of put yourself and mentalize preparing much more easily now in different character roles and such.
Now, playing, dancing these character roles, I mean, they're huge roles. How does your body survive doing four productions sort of back to back and so quickly?
I think you kind of just grit your teeth and you hope for the best. Well, you definitely take care of your body first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, you have to pace yourself. It's kind of like getting ready for, I don't know, a marathon or whatever. You're going to prepare something that's going to push your body to the max. And again, with the experience, you kind of know where your limits are and when to push, when not.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
And how do you prepare for a role of the depth and complexity that Hermione is in The Winter's Tale?
So like it goes all back to the story. And I think for me, I just imagine if Hermione were me in the present day.
Yes.
If I were a queen in the present day, I wish. But there's a lot to draw back and relate to any story that you're about to play on stage. And I think that's how I just start feeling those emotions. And actually the tricky thing is always translating, I don't know, what have you, a book or a play or all these story ballets from words into movement. I think that is our job as dancers, because we're not allowed to say a single word. And how do you make sure that the audience receives the whole story as they should? That's the most important part about story ballets, if I'm honest.
Sure. And how does your costume impact your performance, particularly in this opera?
I find that opera, it doesn't ballet. Really bother. Sometimes you have some costumes that are like prohibiting your movement or they're kind of stiff. This one is like a beautiful long, well, there are many, but they're usually long dresses. And I am pregnant at one point, so there is this belly that kind of gives you a little bit of body dysmorphia. But other than that, nothing gets in the way and it's all very enjoyable to dance with.
And what's it like working with Christopher Wheeldon? He's just so famous and a leading choreographer. How is it that he's a leading choreographer? I mean, not about his bulk of work, but what is so special about him?
He's just incredibly unique in the way he listens to, I find his interpretation of music is just, it's very, very unique. And I pride myself on being quite musical. I think it's not a talent, it's a must in our profession to be able to listen to music and be on music. And Christopher doesn't listen to it like the normal dancer would, and he choreographs in this very unique way of with a lot of style and accents, and I find that incredibly enjoyable to work with. And it's rare, I have to say, very, very rare in the dance world. So I think that's why he's so well-renowned and beloved as a choreographer. And on top of it, The Winter's Tale is just insanely gorgeous to look at.
It is.
The sets, the colors, the costumes, the story, it's all, there's no scene that's overdone or unnecessary. And I think that's also really special as a choreographer.
And certainly I find that some of the most famous choreographers are choreographers that are so appreciative of the music. And it's it's prime, it's priority. And they really honor a score, don't they?
Yes, 100%. I mean, the score is also from Talbot, it's just gorgeous because you hear we've been rehearsing with piano rehearsal music, and then suddenly we listened to the orchestra and we were just blown away.
Yes.
Those who were not on stage, of course,
we
were just taken aback by how stylistic it was. It was just gorgeous.
Does it distract you that some of the orchestra, of course, it's a different band, a different type of music on stage, but does it distract you that the players are on stage while you're dancing at all?
Not at all. I love it.
Nice.
I actually, with my husband Guillaume, we did one ballet where he was playing the cello on stage.
Oh, nice.
And I was dancing on stage. It was just the two of us. I think this is one of the highlights of my career.
Nice.
I just enjoyed so much live musicians on stage.
What was the ballet?
It was from also another famous choreographer, Jiří Kilian.
Yes.
Who's Dutch. Actually, he's Polish, but he's Dutch. And he's Czech. But anyway, he's a mixture. And his ballet is a full-length ballet called One of a Kind.
Okay, fantastic.
Yes.
Now,
yeah.
The Winter's Tale is described as a timeless story of love, loss, and redemption. I bet you've actually kind of answered this already, but how do you approach communicating these emotions through your dance to the audience? Is your preparatory work, do you read about the Shakespeare piece, or how do you prepare that way?
Yes, well, we really read in depth. Every dancer is different, of course, but I read in depth about the story. And of course, the play in this example is different from the ballet.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes always the case with TV shows, movies. You do have an adaptation of it.
Okay.
So I note the differences. I stick with the ballet. And then I try to really imagine as if it's happening to me, you know, and
yes.
In this specific scenario, I think Hermione is extremely strong for having had all these injustices done upon her and
yes.
accusations. And at the end, I think try to imagine being as forgiving as she is and how gracious that is as a quality to have.
Yep.
And so I think of that strength and that kind of drives my whole characterization of her.
And finally, Agnes, what are you most excited for audiences to experience in this production? And what do you hope they take away from seeing it?
That's a very interesting question, Jean. Let me think about that.
Okay.
I think ballet in general should transport you for however long the ballet is. And story ballets exceptionally should really give you, I don't know, some form of, not moral, but I think there's something to take from a story always. And I think when you're really touched from the artist, so in our case, the dancer's interpretation, there's nothing more successful in our eyes that we've done really a good job on stage. So that's my hope always when I'm talking about my own performance.
Sure.
And going in the theater is just art. I mean, art is what drives the world, I think. So I think it's just beauty in the art form.
Lovely. Well, you know what? It was certainly achieved on Friday night when I was there. I loved the ballet and I so enjoyed the dancing. It's just, if you don't have first-rate dancers, you guys set the standard, it seems to me, for ballet in the world.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah, so that's nice. Good for you for saying that, too.
Very strong company.
It is a very strong company. Agnes, I want to thank you so much for sharing your journey, insights, and excitement for your debut as Hermione.
It's my pleasure.
I really
appreciate
it.
Thanks so much, Jean.
Pleasure. Thanks, and take care.
Have a great day.
All the best tomorrow night, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Shakespeare's Timeless. Bye-bye. Shakespeare's Timeless Tale of Love, Loss, and Redemption comes alive on stage at the Four Seasons Center for the Performing Arts. Tomorrow night, there's a performance, in fact. And it goes until the 21st. Tickets are available at national.ballet.ca.